Welcome to episode 4 of The Wedding DJ, a story of love and music in the 1980s. Attending church services vacillated on Jason's roster of priorities, although it unquestionably moved much higher on the list when it came to Sally. Not that church in itself seemed wrong or nefarious, but for Jason, it embodied to a certain degree an amount of guilt and shame that he would rather not deal with. Nevertheless, he woke early Sunday morning with the best of intentions in mind. After a reality check in the bathroom mirror, he wiped the grog from his disposition, showered and shaved, and even put on a tie. Jason arrived just a couple of minutes before the service began. The organist played a very traditional set of prelude music as the congregants found their places in the pews. Jason quickly focused on the area where Sally and her parents regularly sat. They were creatures of habit, doing the same thing at the same time each day, and it seemed highly unlikely that they would deviate on this given Sunday. Cautiously, he approached them, sitting down next to Sally and gently whispering in her ear.
"I'm so profoundly sorry about what happened on Friday night."
Before Jason could begin another sentence, Sally placed her hand in his, squeezing ever so firmly yet respectfully, confirming and acknowledging his spoken words to her.
"We'll talk later."
The prelude music ended and the service began. For the next hour, Jason could not help contemplating all the varying degrees of hope versus the possible ominous meaning of "we'll talk later" in his mind. Focusing on the service, let alone concentrating on the content of the pastor's sermon, bared a resemblance to a wake-up call. Yet it all seemed impossible for Jason to comprehend at the moment. His brain went roaming in too many other directions. The First Baptist Church of Kokomo, founded in 1847, was the recipient of many blessings over the years. Many attributed their cornucopia to following the founding principles of the church found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. From a visual perspective, those who came as regulars and those who came who were visiting couldn't avoid but be acutely struck by the floor-to-ceiling stained glass windows adorning the walls on opposite sides of the church. When the sun penetrated the west wall, shining through the colored glass, it appeared particularly striking, reflecting an adornment fitting to the building's inside. Those brief periods of beaming solitude embodied the peacefulness and serenity that Sally wholeheartedly embraced while attending Sunday services. It didn't hurt that she put to considerable use the same Bible over the past 10 years, now held together with tape and ribbon as a portion of the binding had separated. Sally read her Bible from front to back many times over. She studied it, she knew it, and even shared it when the right opportunity arose. And when those very special moments came, the chance to share the love of Christ to a non-believer, Sally would be at her finest. She knew advantageously it was the real chance to serve God, the Great Commission. Time and time again, after Sally had spoken to those non-believers, they would start showing up at church sooner or later. Not all stayed, not all do, but she impacted many of those people's lives. And it was all about faith, hope, and love for Sally, all encompassed in God's forgiveness. To rectify his present circumstance, Jason estimated the best shot would reveal itself at church, a neutral place to be. And as soon as Sunday services ended, Jason wasted no time.
"Sally, can I speak to you in private?"
Mom, Dad, will you excuse me for a few moments?
Sally smiled back to her parents, reassuring them that everything was okay.
Let's go outside. Take the side door. This way.
Wow, it's a rather chilly morning. I can feel that soft, steady breeze moving right through my coat.
Let's stand where the sun is shining. It'll help warm us up.
The radiant sun on their cheeks, Jason and Sally gazed into each other's eyes. And just as Jason began to speak, Sally lightly placed her index finger to his lips.
Jason, before you say anything, know that I love you and I want what's best for you. I always have and I always will. And if that means going to LA to further your career, then so be it.
Jason was astonished. He was shocked. In his mind, he had gone through the thoughts, processing and rehearsing exactly what he'd say. Choosing the words, articulating the phrasing. The message stated correctly was with absolute certainty going to be the apology of apologies. But now, all he could do was wrap his arms tightly around her, leaving all his rehearsed words left unspoken.
You know, you are the very best.
In that split second, it was as if time stood still. He knew he had an absolute angel as his girlfriend.
Hey, Sally, are you coming with us, or are you going with Jason?
Samuel's voice came from around the corner of the building, interrupting their embrace. As Sally's parents approached, she quickly backed away from Jason. Her parents, though, remained considerably relaxed and calm, acting as if nothing had happened.
So, are you coming home with us, or are you going with Jason?
We're going to get a bite to eat, and I'll bring her home afterwards.
It was those tiny little moments that Sally loved when Jason would take charge, in full command of the situation. With plans defined, Roberta and Samuel said goodbye, walked back to where their car was parked, and drove off. Jason took Sally by the hand, escorted her over to the passenger side of his truck, opened the door like a gentleman, and helped her hop inside.
How about we go to the breakfast house? You know the place. We haven't been there in quite a while.
I think that's an excellent idea, but we better get a move on. You know how the restaurant gets crowded right after church.
Both were famished, but neither said a single word during the mile drive to the diner. There was still nervousness and apprehension in the air. Jason remained hopeful that a belly full of food would make way to improve the situation. They had been to the breakfast house numerous times. The food was tasty and reasonably priced, something Jason had to always keep in mind. They quickly found an open table and waited for the waitress.
Hi, I'm Joy. I'll be your waitress today. Can I get anybody a cup of coffee?
Yes, I'd like a cup of coffee. Sally, do you know what you'd like to drink?
I'd like a cup of hot tea, please.
Sounds good. I'll be right back with that. And I'll give you two an opportunity to look over the menus.
So what do you feel like having?
Just some scrambled eggs and toast will be plenty for me. And what about you? What are you getting?
I think it's a ham and cheese omelet day with a stack of hotcakes.
It wasn't much longer until the waitress returned with the beverages and took their food order. Jason thought that this would be a reasonable opportunity for him to explain to Sally about the details of the trip, the idea of going to LA to further his music career.
So Kevin has a friend in Los Angeles that's in the music business. He said this person has connections and can help.
Okay.
Yeah, The idea is to make contacts, to play my songs for those people. You know, people in the business.
Nice. I see.
Jason kept reiterating much of what Kevin had told him. Sally, for the most part, just listened and acknowledged in the affirmative. Satisfied with his breakfast and the respectful way Sally responded to the whole concept, he went to the front counter to take care of the check. Sally wasn't about to rain on Jason's parade. She accepted all that he had to say, although she wondered what would happen if Jason's journey did not turn out the way he imagined. But Sally wouldn't dare convey that to him. She didn't feel her place was to be negative, but rather to keep positive thoughts. As the saying goes, once you replace negative thoughts with positive ones, you'll start having positive results. Sally felt it was best for Jason to stay positive as well, to be inspired, and to stay focused. So Sally did just that, continued to be part of a secure support system for Jason and his dream to be a successful singer-songwriter artist. Throughout the days that followed, and into the oncoming weeks, news traveled quickly about the local boy from Kokomo, who would soon be bound for L.A. on a venture of a lifetime. The Kokomo Tribune even wrote an article about a local musician heading for sunny Southern California. On the other hand, Jason's parents didn't quite know what to think of it all. Jason's mom, Linda, the only other musician in the family, thought it was absolutely out of character for her son. Bill, his father, just kept shaking his head every time the subject came up. They were old-fashioned people living a simple lifestyle with low stress, practicing conservative values, being respectful, working hard, and giving others their time whenever they were needed. Bill and Linda loved their son and didn't question his values, but they were utterly concerned with his methods. And yet, they looked at their son, now 27, and knew it was not their place to tell him how to live his life, at least not anymore. Sally's parents were quick to side with the concerns of their daughter. Even without Sally conveying much verbally, they saw her body language. It didn't take all too long until Roberta and Samuel voiced their thoughts.
Sally, dear, does Jason really know what he's doing by going out there to L.A.?
Honestly, Mom, I kind of feel like he's flying by the seat of his pants. But that said, I know he needs to do this. But don't share that, what I said, with anyone.
Honey, I would never do that. I'm just concerned for you. I thought the two of you would have been married by now.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to push him. When he's ready, I know he'll ask me, but it's his place to ask, not mine.
Have you spoken to Jason's parents about the trip? I'm curious to hear what they think.
No, Mom. I saw them, but I thought it was best not to say or ask anything. Truthfully, I got the impression that they are troubled by the whole idea, but they're not going to say anything to him. He's an adult.
Sally's parents were very much like Jason's parents. They shared much of the same old-fashioned Midwestern values. When the parents got together from time to time, talking about their kids was part of the fun. Though they didn't want to take any chances on jinxing Jason and Sally's relationship, all four were in favor of it and looked forward to the day when Jason and Sally would get married. They were in complete agreement. This was a match meant to be, but that was before anyone knew what Jason was planning. Although most everyone was thrilled and excited for Jason, there were still some who wondered what kind of man would make such a decision without consulting the girl he loves. Even Jason and Sally's close friends voiced opinions from opposite ends of the spectrum. Some were exhilarated and delighted for Jason, making such an adventurous move and getting out of monotonous Kokomo. Others sided with Sally and thought Jason was a full-fledged fool, only concerned for his own welfare without regard for her feelings. Nonetheless, Jason continued preparations for the trip to Los Angeles, Hollywood, to be exact. He desperately needed more money, enough to last for a short while he could make the right contacts and meet the influential people that could assist his career. At the very least, he needed enough money to hold him over until he was in a position where he could generate a mini-income. Jason owned an old 1972 Ford F-100 pickup truck that he brought to his mechanic for servicing. It was essential to have a professional give the truck a once-over and find anything that could potentially cause problems from the outset. At this point, the last thing that Jason wanted to happen was a breakdown on the open highway in no man's land. The journey from Kokomo, Indiana to Hollywood, California, was approximately 2,125 miles and would take Jason on the Interstate 40 headed west. If one were to attempt this drive nonstop, they might make it in about 35 hours and change. Given the mileage info, Jason decided on making one overnight stay, just ample time for rest at a Motel 6. With all the talk going on behind Jason's back, particularly from the naysayers, he didn't want to give them any more ammunition, like having a mishap while driving there. It would be foolish to attempt an undertaking of 35 hours only to fall asleep at the wheel. There was no reason to begin this endeavor with a crashing end. The night before his departure, Sally could not let go of the feeling, the calm before the storm. Instinctively, she knew something wasn't right in her heart. Taking the phone into her bedroom, she closed the door and dialed Jen's number.
Hey, Jen. It's Sally. How are you doing?
I'm fine, but you don't sound so fine.
You can tell that easy?
I'm afraid so. I've known you for way too long. You kind of haven't been your usual self over the past few weeks, if you know what I mean.
Wow. I thought I did a better job of keeping things to myself.
Well, it's not so much what you say, but the way you said it. Not to mention your body language. You got some contradictory forces happening in your life. It's a yin-yang thing.
What do you mean?
Well, you got this darkness thing going on. That's the yin. It's feminine. Passive. It's the earth. Then there's Jason. We'll call him the yang. After all, he's male. The yang represents the light. Activity, and the heavens. You guys got a push-pull thing happening. There's an imbalance between the two of you.
Wow. Where did you get all this stuff from?
Hey, I read. Maybe I didn't go to college, but I could still learn about things, can I?
Of course. I didn't mean it that way. I just never thought of Jason and I like that.
Hey. You're nervous. You're anxious. Your boyfriend's going away for a while, and you're not exactly sure when he's coming back. This is all new territory. I'd probably be worse than you if Kevin was going away for an extended period of time. Plus, you know him. His eyes like to wander. At least you know Jason will keep his eyes focused on the things he's trying to do, the things he's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
You know, worrying yang too.
Really? How so?
Well, the way I see it, you went to college, I dropped out. You always seem to say the right things at the proper moment. I have a great tendency to speak before I think, which has led to some pretty crazy moments. Right? But above all, we have each other, our friendship, and our love for each other.
The two talked for another couple of hours before hanging up the phone. By the end of their conversation, Sally felt much more at ease with her troubled heart. The situation was far from resolved, but analyzing the circumstances with Jen, her best friend, paid dividends for the short term. As Sally laid her head on the pillow, she pondered back to the time when she and Jason were just about to become a couple. The two would stumble over their conversations more often than not. It was new territory then, uncharted, unmapped, unexplored. It took time and energy to become best friends, trust each other, count on each other, be available for one another, and learn how to feel at ease having fun with one another. They had built their relationship to believe in the power of their love. It was intense. It was profound. It was inspiring. Now, there was a new sense of untraveled territory. Once again, uncharted, unmapped, and unexplored. Before she fell asleep, she remembered the words he spoke at breakfast. That he wasn't only making this journey for himself, but for both of them. in hopes of someday being able to provide a prosperous future, a future with more of the things this world has to offer. If not the most critical factor, it was the one concerning the ability and desire to be a substantial provider. He admitted his inability in that department under present circumstances. Insecurity factors emanating from the job at the market, combined with the limited income he generated as a musician, did not even come close to the standards he deemed necessary. But what Jason failed to realize was that Sally accepted him not for the man of success he wanted to become, but rather for the man of value he already was. She so appreciated his words, and she loved Jason with all her heart. Sally dreaded the days, hours, and minutes they would be apart. Her concerns for the future were unsure, complicated, and problematic. There were just too many unknown factors concerning Jason. How long would he be gone? What if he didn't achieve success? And what might become of their relationship over time, time away, at a distance so far off? Still, with all these elements under consideration in her mind, she held firm to the convictions that their love would endure with faith. She believed faith in their love would overcome the challenges that lay ahead. With that mindset, Sally prayed every day for Jason's safety, his health, and if it was God's will, his success. So when that first Monday in April came, on an early spring day, Sally drove over to Jason's house at 4:30 in the morning, the sky still dark as night, and the outside air so very brisk. It would have been so much better to stay in bed, under her blankets, where it was nice and warm. But that was not to be. Jason and Sally said their goodbyes to each other, sealing the departure with a kiss. Sally kissed Jason for good luck, hoping he would achieve his goal. Then she gave him another kiss for love, and all the tenacious feelings and constant affection she had for him. You've been listening to an episode of The Wedding DJ, a story of love and music in the 1980s. The Wedding DJ is written, produced, and directed, and narrated by David Murray Adelstein.
You're ugly.
Thank you.